Welcome to the Winter Palace. I'm your host, Mark Cole, editor and publisher of Odessa Steps magazine. This is part two of our Lucha Espectacular with Fredo Esparza of the Lucha World blog and Lucha World podcast. We look at the recent CMLL Dos Leyendas pay-per-view, go over the matches and where they might be going in the future, look at the news involving Elite and AAA, and we talk about the highs and lows of watching CMLL in Forma. Please don't forget to check out part one of the Lucha Espectacular with Dr. Lucha Steve Sims. Thanks, and we hope you enjoy the show. Welcome back to the Winter Palace. There was a big CMLL iPay-per-view the other night, and to talk about it and some of the other things going on in the world of Lucha Libre is Lucha World's Fredo Esparza. How's it going, Fredo?
Going good. How's it going over there, Mark?
I am good. As we tape Sunday night, the Chilanga Mask anniversary show is going on, so I don't have any idea about what's happened at that show.
Yeah.
So if people wonder why we're not talking about it, that's why, because it's going on right now. And I've seen some of the results on Twitter, but I haven't really investigated them very thoroughly.
Yeah, I think the only thing I saw was that Ricky Marvin was a surprise third member in that ACH Leo Rush match. That's all I've seen. But they're still going on right now, so.
Yeah, it looks, I mean, from the card, it looks like there should be a couple good matches. They brought in a couple American guys, so that's at least something different.
Yeah.
And I guess, as far as I know, the Kyphons versus the Traumas is still
Has that happened
going
yet? Oh,
on.
it's still going on?
As I think it's still scheduled. I mean, you never know. One, you never know with Lucha, and two, you don't know.
Well, I saw them in that band that Black Cherry was in, so I
Okay.
can confirm at least the Kyphones were there, so I don't know about the Traumas.
Yeah, because Trauma 2 may or may not have
Well,
legal issues, so.
he wrestled the IWRG show, so he's still wrestling.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. So if people are curious about that, probably by the time they hear this, the results and probably some video will probably be up floating around. And since if Black Terry went, then you can be sure that Black Terry will probably have some stuff in this. We'll just get our plug for Black Terry Jr. out of the way now. Go to Black Terry's site and buy stuff from him. So we'll get that out early.
Excellent.
Yeah, Friday night was the Dos Leyendas big CMLL show that was on iPay-per-view and 90 worked for 99% of the time.
Yeah.
I know you had some issues, probably worse than the rest of us. I know it seems like everybody had an issue right at the top of the like second and a half hour, probably when their time ran out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they were back on for most everybody like a minute or two later if you refresh your screen, but I know you had issues.
Yeah, I know Dr. Lucha did too, because we kept talking about it on Twitter, and he was like, "Yeah, mine's gone too." I was pretty much gone after that. I got a video of the main event afterwards, and I kind of noticed the point where the issue came up for everyone, and I guess for some people it just never came back. But you could see like it just jumped, there's a little blip in the screen, and I think that's where it happened. I think it was somewhere between when Nero Casas was trying to do that Hurricanrana to the outside on Volador Jr., where he messed up, and then Volador Jr. picked him up again, and like he ended up being tossed into the guardrail. I think that was the point where the iPay-per-view just fell apart for some of us.
Yeah, but generally, I didn't really notice any issues. I
Wow, it
know
worked
you had.
perfectly earlier.
Yeah, and I noticed the other weird thing was just that everybody seemed to be at a different point in the match because
Yeah.
it seemed like I was like maybe a minute or two ahead of you and you were a minute or two ahead of some other people, so it was like nobody was really synced up very
Yeah, and
well.
then the cup stand was 4 minutes ahead of all of us, and I was like, "Man, why are we all so like out of sync?" I think that probably was the reason why whoever was at my time, probably when that happened, when that little issue happened, all of us that were at that time probably had the same problem, and everybody else was fine. Really a weird little thinking problem on the iPay-per-view. But I mean, that always happens with iPay-per-view. I don't know.
Yeah, generally, I mean, at least it worked,
Yeah.
which is more than we could say for some of the iPay-per-views.
But you know, lately with Claro Sports and the YouTube video, they've been TMLL has been pretty solid for the majority of their shows. So I mean, can't really complain of. And it was worth the $10, even if you missed half the main event. By the time you finished with the Rush Maximo match, you pretty much got your money's worth on the show.
Yeah, so I was going to say, what was your overall thoughts? I thought it was a good show. It seemed like everybody liked the two hair matches more than I did. But I mean,
Really?
I think they were still very good,
Yeah.
but there was I think maybe the Rush match may have just been a little too one-sided.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know the thing, I kind of like that just because Rush is basically the guy they're trying to build up for the next big match. And Maximo didn't have a lot of hair. I don't know if you noticed how much hair he had. Usually he just has the pink mohawk. And this time he had a little more hair on the sides too, so he grew it out to get his head shaved. But I mean, yeah, the worst thing about that match was Pierrot being a sec, Rush's second. I thought that was really the. That was probably the worst part of the whole iPay-per-view for me.
Well, I was talking to Matt about this, and I said, I think part of the reason that the two hair matches really didn't click for me, and this is my own fault, not theirs, but there was so much other stuff that I was expecting to happen that didn't,
Yeah.
that it kind of left me, like with Rush and Maximo, I mean, Pyroth in and of himself, but I think we all sort of expected La Máscara to be part of it, especially since one, he's Maximo's cousin, and two, he's also part of that, the feud with Marco
Yeah.
and Maximo. So, I mean, when they did that thing at the beginning, when Pyroth came out dressed as Rush, I was expecting that to be
Yeah, just a
La
swerve.
Máscara.
Yeah. So I actually kind of thought maybe it was just a swerve with Pierrot, and then he would leave afterwards, and Mascara would show up and help Rush out, and that didn't happen. So, and then with I think what you're talking about with Casas and Volador Jr., I think we were all expecting the Casas family to actually be involved in this match, and that actually didn't happen, which really.
And the alleged Volador surprise.
Yeah.
It's was it was it Flyer?
Well,
Was that his big surprise?
when he kept bringing up family members, and I mean the only surprise family member he has is really LA Park at this point, and LA Park isn't allowed to be in out right now, so question was Flyer, and I guess we weren't really that surprised with Flyer being a second.
Was his surprise those weird Transformer guys that he came out with?
Could have been. I didn't really think. I was expecting more out of that, but it was just guys walking out there with lights on their outfits. I didn't understand it.
That said, the main event was really good, booking issues aside, and certainly I think we say this at least once or twice a year, and it's like, what are you doing, old man? Please do not. When he took that sunset flip off the apron.
Yeah. I mean, that was crazy. You know, it's kind of funny. I was thinking about this when I was writing the recap for the show. Remember when Terry Funk did that moonsault, like when he was 53 years old?
Right.
Like in 94, I think it was 94, wasn't it? Like, I think it was Smoky Mountain when he did that.
Yeah.
And we thought he was crazy at that time. And Nero Cousins is doing, like, he's not doing moonsaults, but he's doing her Frankensteiners off the top rope. He's taking Frankensteiners off the top rope. He did that, the sunset flip power bomb. He was doing, I think he did Dragon Lee's, what's it called? The foot stomp from the top rope. I mean, I don't know what got into him. I mean, he figured it, he had, like he said, he was going to work. He was going to wrestle. If he had to, he would wrestle Volador Jr. style. And I guess that was his way of showing that he can't, even though he wrestled that style, Volador Jr. was going to win wrestling that style. So I kind of like that part of the storyline. But I mean, the guy is amazing. Just an amazing competitor overall.
I don't know if it was him selling or what, but he definitely seemed to like be favoring his sh like while he was getting his hair cut.
Yeah.
Like he had his neck cranked
Yeah,
like in a weird
and he
way
was just
that
selling. He was just selling. So that's the way, that's
Could
the way,
you?
like, if you watch Casas, he always sells, like, he was even selling, like, he was crying and all this stuff. I mean, that there, he's just a professional when it comes to doing all that stuff.
Because you could easily see either the sunset flip on the
Yeah.
floor or that reverse Frankensteiner that, you could,
That too.
give yourself a stinger.
Yeah, the reverse Frankensteiner. I mean, 55 years old, who's going to take that move? I mean, I was scared after that. I think they took a, I think after, I can't remember which move, but at one point, he takes one of, I think it might have been the sunset flip powerbomb. They pan out to Dallas, his wife, and she's just grabbing his daughter's arm really tightly. And I just kept thinking, man, no wonder why she's so like stoic during this whole match. She's probably worried about what this crazy man's about to do.
So I think people should definitely check out the two hair matches once they are on TV and then sort of populate throughout the internet.
And you know that's the other thing why I didn't really stress out about missing like that part, that the main event, because it was going to air like in a month late. Well, a half hour before the show started, they were actually airing the announcers doing openers for the TV shows, and they as soon as they announced that the hair matches would be on TV for Azteca, which is on in the U.S., I figured okay, we're going to watch it at some point. Plus, I think it's going to air on Samurai TV at some point too. So. Yeah, but those two matches were really good. Also, the Team Mexico versus Team Japan match was really good too.
Right, that was another one where I thought the booking ended up being a little weird that, Valiente pinned Okamura and then Dragon Lee pinned
Fujin.
Fujin, yeah, one of the young boys. And so it's like if it really was Kamaitachi's last match, it was sort of surprising he did not, lose one more time to Dragon Lee or really lose or even to he did take the Mystica in the second fall,
Oh,
so I
he
guess
did.
maybe that was his sort of way on the way out.
He looked great against Mystico too in that match. I mean, Mystico looked really good in that match. He brought out some of the dives he used to do when he was on Dragon Lee. Yeah, I kind of, I think also the problem, I think one of the, I think Fujin might have got hurt early in the match, or he might have got knocked silly because he kind of looked a little out of it after for a brief second, and then.
Yeah, because there was I think there was a time when he was just sitting on the floor,
Yeah.
like out of the match.
Yeah, 'cause even when they were doing dives, when the Team Mexico was doing dives, you could see Fujin was really not the guy catching. It was Ray Rajin or one of the other guys catching it. Actually, when Máscara Dorada did that dive, I think even Rajin missed him, 'cause it looked really like they weren't like Fujin looked like he was really out of it for a bit. And then if he wasn't out of it early, he probably was out of it afterwards because he took that. The Dragon Driver pretty that move looks pretty crazy. I mean, I don't know how these guys take that move. The Phoenix Plex.
So people should also check that out when it shows up. I think the other matches were just sort of like the openers were, I think, okay but not great, sort of what
Yeah.
you would maybe expect. And the semi-main was, I knew we were, I think we knew it was going to be comedy, but it seemed like guys really weren't clicking all that well. And I guess it really turns out it was just an angle to set up Ultimo Guerrero fighting Cibernético next week.
Yeah, it was weird because I think we had that whole week where Brazo de Plata was saying he was capable of working that show, and I think he pretty much exposed himself as not being very. I don't think he's at that level anymore where he should actually be working, especially in the semi-main event. He looked really bad in that match. Marco looked good. Atlantis, the Ultimo Girl. I thought, like you said, Cibernético setting up Cibernético to face Ultimo Girl. I think it's something different. I mean, what's up with Ultimo Girl? I mean, he's facing some really, like he's got some. He must. I don't know if he's involved in this decision making for these feuds, but I mean, he goes from Thunder to Pagano on the independent scene, and now Cibernético. I mean, that's like, I think he's trying to like be like the that worker who like carries really bad wrestlers, and he even mentioned.
I was going to say it from the outside it certainly looks like I am going to prove how good I am by making these guys look good.
Yeah. It's just crazy because you're thinking about all these like great young talents and we've seen him wrestle on when you wrestle Kaifan and all these other guys who are far better wrestlers, and you're wondering why is he always willing to so open to feuding with Thunder and Pagano and Cibernético. Those are his top feuds, and you know it's probably something it must be something in his head where he wants to prove to everybody he's a great worker that he's got in his mind to do that.
Just think it's amazing that a feud with Cybernetico is actually a step up for him.
You know, the other thing that we should talk about from the show is how bad the officiating was. Female referees were so bad on the second match. That second match, which was not that bad, like you said, it was okay. But the finish of that match, where the referee just kept screwing up the finish. Because, I mean, to me, the way the idea that the Hijos del Infierno had, where they were going to reverse the pin attempt, you know, like they had both guys laying on top of each other. So they were going to pin one, and then they were going to roll the other one over the other one to get the pin on the second one. That's been done a few times in CML, and they count the pin. And this time, this referee decided not to count, and it just made them look so bad because they had to come up with another pin attempt, which just made the match. I think it killed that match towards the end, but it wasn't a bad match though.
I think generally speaking, like on any sort of TV show, any sort of CMLL show, that half the matches are going to have some wonky officiating in them. And it's not even like it's Tarantes doing a heel ref gimmick. It's just sort of, most of these guys are very old, and so it's sort of like when we used to have to watch Bronco Lubitsch referee in World Class, where he was just old and broken down from being a worker, and so was slow and didn't always get everything. And I mean, I think it's sort of no surprise that most of the big CMLL matches, it's usually almost always Tarantes doing the refereeing to make sure things
Yeah.
don't go as badly as they could go.
And even he screws up too, which is like, I think that just proves the whole, I mean, they got to get some new officiating in that match. And actually they have that younger guy who's now doing a little bit more of the, like, I think he did the rush match.
Well, I think if you'll notice, whenever there's a ref bump or something, he's usually the ref, because I don't think
Yeah,
you
those are.
certainly don't want to be you don't want to be bumping those really old guys. And you've seen when Tarantes tries to bump, he usually does sort of a wacky comedy bump, which isn't really fitting the tone of the match.
Well, in that match that they had with where he when Volador was gonna go for set up for the reverse Frankensteiner, remember Tirantes was like in the corner, and Volador Jr. kind of had to tell him to get out of the way. I just thought, but you know that didn't ruin it. It just kind of paused the match, and these guys were smart enough to just keep going, whereas the younger guys just would have just fallen apart at that point.
I think it's almost a trope that Lucha has bad or weird refereeing, which is funny because the Cubs fan is at a local show tonight with some indie people with some luchadors on it, and he tweeted a while ago that somebody was doing a heel ref spot, and he wasn't counting the pin, and a fan actually got in
Oh,
the ring and
geez.
counted the three count.
Yeah, I think we're gonna get at that point at some point CML is gonna have that. Although they have the guardrail, so they don't really get that. Except the Arena Coliseo and Arena Puebla. There's a possibility there.
And speaking of Arena Mexico, before we move on, we saw what their renovations were, at least the visible ones, and there was a new Titantron, and now the ring has video boards where the skirt used to be, which I thought looked pretty
Yeah,
cool.
it looked cool. I think they did a good job. The what they did on for the on the on the you know the around the apron, getting rid of the apron and putting the boards. I actually like that. I mean, we're gonna have some issues at some point because guys are gonna forget or they're gonna want to do something with them. But hopefully they don't mess that up. I mean, because that's actually a good. I actually for what they did, it was really worth the time they took to fix all that stuff.
Yeah, so all in all, like we said, a worthwhile show. Definitely look for the good matches when they come out later. We mentioned Azteca TV. And I guess the big news from this week, other than this show, is Elite actually getting a TV deal.
Yeah, for Azteca 7. They announced it Thursday, wasn't it? Thursday?
Yeah, Thursday or Friday.
Yeah, because I know Friday they announced the other news. But that's a big game changer, because Azteca 7 is probably the it's a far larger channel than what all the Lucha shows are at right now. Especially CMLL is really not as visible in Mexico compared to, like, I don't even think they have a channel that's at the level of the Azteca that's here in the United States. So this should actually be a huge, it's going to not just help Elite, but it's going to help CML since they're both affiliated together. But yeah, and we're starting to see the effects of it, because the following day, they made the announcement that Cage was going to be wrestling Rush on the March 30th show. So that should be interesting.
Well, it's funny because the other day I had asked you and Rob and Cubs and guys that I was just think it I was listening to either your podcast or Cubs podcast with Rob, and it was something about people talking about AAA and Lucha Underground and who's being used and who's not being used, and I wondered what would happen if Elite or CMLL got somebody to jump that was part of Lucha Underground. Because, it's one thing when wrestlers jump, and because wrestler contracts are pretty flimsy, but when the Lucha Underground are American TV
Yeah.
guys, and they're going to have ironclad contracts, and I guess, we sort of, I guess the only person who's really tried to challenge it is Hernandez when he tried to go to TNA, and that really. And it didn't work for him.
And don't forget, Hernandez and Chavo worked the Elite shows right around the time Lucha Underground was about to start. Actually, they were doing tapings at the time. I think they were doing tapings at the time for the first season. And so as soon as the show started airing, they were told not to do Elite. So that's actually one of those interesting things. I'm guessing, I gotta imagine AAA is gonna do something about it, or complain to Lucha Underground, or tell Brian Cage not to do it. I mean, it just seems like there's something's gonna happen.
Because I think the other reason that I thought about that was the whole Sexy Star thing of
Yeah.
her quitting AAA and quitting wrestling to become a boxer or whatever, but while still being under contract to Lucha Underground, which made me wonder, if you had somebody that was in Lucha Underground, and obviously they've already taped season two and they're getting ready to tape season three soon,
No, they're starting
you know
this
that.
weekend.
So that would lock up people for a while. I assume the contracts probably say that you can't, that you're locked in with us until these air, which could be months and months and months from now.
Yeah, and that's the thing with Cage. Right now, Lucha Underground is actually airing, and he's pretty prominent. He's a prominent big member of that show too. So it's kind of like, you're trying to figure out if he's even gonna be there, because they're gonna be on TV. How are they gonna allow that show to how are they gonna allow that match to air on TV? Because that's really where Lucha Underground's gonna be more upset if it airs on if he's on TV on a to them, if they're gonna view it as competition. So that's more. I don't think they would make a big deal if it was just an Elite show where nobody's gonna watch it on television. Even if it's online or whatever. But if it's on TV, I think that's where they're gonna have a. I think there's going to be an issue.
Because,
I can't imagine them letting him do that.
because again, without knowing how the contracts work, it's, would a guy appearing on a show that's only on in Mexico nominally, not, excluding the fact that we all get to see stuff eventually anyway,
Yeah.
but, it's like Lucha Underground's in the United States, and I guess now it's on iTunes, so I guess it's
Could be available.
presumably, in theory, it's worldwide now.
Yeah.
But, would they care? And then there's the weird thing of if you're in Lucha Underground, but you've got one of the gimmicks they created, and you wrestled for Elite, if you're Hijo de Fantasma,
Yeah.
if you worked in Elite as Hijo de Fantasma as opposed to your Lucha Underground character, would they care less because it's not their intellectual property, it's just you.
Yeah, this is where it's, I think that, what is it, next week? Next Wednesday, I think, or this upcoming, no, in 2 weeks, right? 2 weeks, 30th. That's going to be an interesting day because there's so much that if Kate shows up and actually wrestles on that show, I mean, we're going to know more about the not just where Cage is, but the relationship between Lucha Underground and AAA having control in Mexico over these guys. Because I mean, if Kate shows up, that means any of these other guys can actually leave AAA and still have a deal with Lucha Underground, and that changes a lot in the landscape of Lucha Libre in Mexico. Because I think right now we're seeing a lot of guys complaining about their situation in AAA. Or their past situation in AAA, because we even had Steve Bernetico talk about that. Conan has brought it up. I mean, there's a lot of guys who are complaining about not getting the right amount of money that they feel they deserve while they were in AAA. So that's going to be the real test, what happens afterwards. And, you know, Hijo de Fantasma hasn't even on, I don't think he's been on a AAA show since that Rey de Reyes show from the qualifying match. I think he hasn't been on another show since then.
And then you have whatever is going on there with between the Roldans and Conan and I guess Arturo Rivera. You know, it's just it's almost like it's just a triple. It's like the regular AAA soap opera just being played out on Twitter.
It kind of seems. Remember, we did that podcast where we were talking about how weird. If we would have talked about AAA like a year and a half ago, we would be talking about how this promotion is about to get like be the hottest promotion in Rust, like one of the hottest promotions. So they had so many new stars, a lot of a great young talent, a lot of foreigners coming in, the Lucha Underground involvement. And like within that time, we have now Conan's out of it. I remember you joking about Conan being the last guy turning off a light. And apparently that's not going to happen either. So it's weird. It's just like, every single week, something new happens with AAA, and it just keeps getting worse. But the Roldans don't really talk about it. You don't hear them talk about it. All you hear about them talk about is Lucha Underground and how great that is. And it's like you're starting to wonder if maybe they're like trying to phase out AAA and maybe just go to Lucha Underground and be a part of that. It just seems like it's a weird situation right now. I have no idea what's going on with AAA. It's like, 1 week you're hearing all this positive news about a show coming up, and then all of a sudden you hear somebody's upset about not getting paid. Then you hear somebody doing like a subliminal message about sometimes you have to change to move on, or you know, Hijo de Fantasma did that subliminal tweet where it's like you have to read between the lines to figure out what he's talking about. But I guess he's not. I guess he might be the one that's not happy with AAA right now. It's weird.
And you say that, I believe today is the anniversary of Perro's passing away in Tijuana. Because we just passed, I think it was during the week when it was the anniversary of the woman that died in the bus accident at Orton AAA.
Yeah.
And so all of that stuff that's happened to AAA, it's been like just about a year.
Yeah, and look at how everything's changed. Like, if you would have just gone a year and 1 week back in time, we would all be talking about how great AAA is. And it's like, right now, we're like, it's not bad. It's not indie. It's not totally, completely bad because there's still talent there. But even the talent there is having issues because, like, the Octagon issue with Octagon Jr. and all this stuff, it's like there's constantly stuff going on, and it just seems like something's going to happen. Hopefully they figure it out before it explodes on them, because it's like it could get a lot worse.
Well, just think, a year ago we had the AAA Dream Team of, you know, Alberto, Ray, and Caristico.
Yeah,
you know, we'll now call him Mysticies. And it's, you know, Alberto's been in WBF, you know, for like 6 months or whatever. You know, Caristico is sort of back in the, you know, he's in Elite and sort of in the upper mid card in CMLL. And Ray, who knows?
Ray's in Lucha Underground, and we don't even know if he's going to be back in AAA because he also had issues with them. So it's just a weird situation. it like I was listening to Cibernetico talk about it, and he was talking about how I think the la ever since Antonio Peña died, he always viewed it more as a business. And before that, there was a lot of loyalty towards, you know, the promoter, because Peña was so loyal. They felt there was a loyalty to him. And now it's like everybody just comes up, thinks of like the business. They're more of a, about, you know, they don't have the loyalty that they had towards AAA that they had when Peña was there. And I don't think the Roldans have built that up. Because, and now that's even worse because with Lucha Underground, these guys are getting paid better. They're getting indie work in the US, and I think they're starting to see, hey, we can make more money. We could make more money outside of AAA. So what's going on with AAA? They're supposedly like this worldwide promotion, and this indie group in you know, like in Illinois is paying me so much more money than AAA is paying me. It's like there's just more to it. I'm really curious to see what how this ends, because it's kind of like I said, March 30th, when we see if we see Brian Cage in Elite, that's going to be the starting point of what's going to happen to all those other guys in Lucha Underground and in AAA.
Yeah, although speaking of indie shows in the U.S., did you ever hear anything about just what happened with that Northeast tour that never happened? Was it just things fell through? Because it was very weird.
Yeah, apparently they were booked for, I think, six shows throughout the. I think three were in the Northeast and three were in the Midwest. And the promoter in charge of the Northeast shows didn't get the, I guess he didn't get the building. Like he didn't, he had issues with the building or didn't even get them or whatever. And the people in the Midwest actually already have everything planned out. So that's why you're seeing the shows happening in the Midwest that didn't happen in the Northeast.
Yeah, 'cause I was all set to go to the show in Philly
Yeah.
last week, and then it was from the beginning. It was very weird. It was like the posters had no info. All they had was a phone number
Yeah.
and like no buildings. And I know I tried, I went through some of the workers and I was like, "Do you know where you're working?" And got no answer. And I know people tried to talk to the promoter and they're like, "Well, we're still working on it, but nothing's
Yeah.
confirmed." And it was all just very, and like you said, Cubs at the Chicago show tonight, and that was like the only show that had a real poster, because it's that building where they always run.
Yeah.
So, I think you're dealing with,
Yeah,
people who know what they're doing, so.
I think it was like I think the person that brought him in to do the shows was that was his basic role was to bring in the luchadors, take care of them, handle their travel plans. And then they had individual promoters handling the other shows. And that, like I said, the Northeast guy just didn't really pull through. Whereas the Chicago guys, obviously, Berwyn, Illinois, and all that, they all actually had the building already scheduled and everything.
It was disappointing because I was finally going to be able to give Xerxes her the copy of the magazine from last year since she did an interview with us. But eventually.
You didn't mail it to her? She didn't want you your mailing address?
Well, it's funny. It was what we had talked about was either like leaving extra copies there for people, or maybe we would get somebody that was in Mexico to like mail it to her. That way we wouldn't have to like deal with customs and all that kind of weird stuff. But it just, everybody got busy and things didn't happen. So it's like get one eventually. It's not like it's going anywhere.
Did she write you in English or Spanish?
I want to say it was in Spanish.
Okay.
But I think from talking to her, like on Twitter and Facebook and stuff, it seems like I think her English is okay.
Yeah.
But I think I asked if she wanted to do the podcast or she'd rather do it by email, and she said email. And I know that, it's that weird thing where, sometimes tweets are like a little wonky.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it's, something. And I don't know if this came up, but I've always said, if she, since she's part Mexican and part Puerto Rican, like probably if she actually grew up in Puerto Rico and then came to Mexico, that I said, I would bet her English is probably a lot better than if she was just raised in Mexico. You know, like the logic says she probably can speak, you know, okay if she was there first.
Plus, I think she probably learned, she probably knows a little bit just because of the travel, and I think English, just to learn, like, just to call spots and stuff, I think they could figure out English a little easier, like just some of the basic stuff. Whereas I think a lot of the, like, learning Japanese or Spanish is going to be a little more, like, getting two people to do that, it's not as easy. Like, I think everybody's learned a little English in Mexico within Lucha. They
Well,
just don't speak it properly.
that's why I was asking if you guys were going to go to that show in LA because, you know, like I would like, you know, like on my list of people I would like to interview at some point is Puma and Tiger. So like I would have been interesting to learn, you know, how his English is since you guys may have gotten the chance to see him at the show.
But I know Guerrero Maya isn't. I think he's not fluent. But I'm guess I don't really know if they speak English. I don't think they do.
Well,
But they're
it's weird because I know they occasionally tweet in English, but again, that doesn't mean
Yeah.
anything because I occasionally tweet in Spanish, mainly using the Translate app, and then I'll write something, and then probably about 10 minutes later,
Yeah, I think they I think a lot of the
TKD will send me a message that says, "You should have used this word instead of that word," and I was like, "Oh, I'm using Google Translate, so what can I do?"
I always see that, like when I see Rob and Cubs fan tweet stuff in Spanish, it's like, oh, but I've already like I don't want to burst like I don't want to burst anyone's bubble. Just I figure if they can understand it more or less, and nobody's upset about it, it's fine. Because I don't want to be that guy that's like, oh, you should say this, you should say that. It's like, no, nah, you guys got everyone's got to learn a little bit.
Well, I just sort of I try to, and then like if it's just sort of chatting online, I don't mind using Google Translate. But like if it's for the magazine or something that like I'll usually go through like TKD or Cecilia, it'll be like, "This is what I want to ask, and I think this is what it should be," and then they'll go, "No, use this word instead of that word," or whatever. Because, you know, I've had something in the pipeline that's an interview that's supposed to come out at some point whenever I get the answers back. But yeah, we just decided that like I would write down my questions, I would send them to the TKD, he would translate them, then I would send them to the person, and then when they write back, I'm sure it'll go the other way that I'll send it to one of them and say, "This is what they wrote this in English. Like, do you want to try and clean it up?" And so hopefully that'll be sometime soon because I was talking to the luchador in question who has been busy doing rehab. So I do not want to impose when I know they've got other things on their mind, but hopefully that'll be coming sometime soon.
That's good. Yeah, it's like when I talk to guys, they always think I speak only English. So when I start talking to them in Spanish, they're a little surprised. But I'm like, dude, I'm Mexican. It's not. It's like I don't know what's so. Well, online I could understand because they don't really know me. But like when I'm at shows, they can see me and they already figure out, okay, speak Spanish. So it's like, but they're surprised. Like I'll talk to them in Spanish, like. I speak Spanish. I'm fluent in Spanish, and it's like they the first thing they ask me is like, "Are you from Mexico?" It's like, "No, I'm born and raised in California," and they're like, "Oh, really?" It's like, "Yeah," like, "Oh, okay," but they're kind of surprised. Like when we did the traumas interview, that was, but sometimes I try to get Kurt involved because Kurt's there, and it's like he doesn't speak any Spanish, so I'm like, so I look at Kurt, I'm like, "Did you understand anything?" And he's like, "Yeah, I understand some of it." Because I don't want to leave him out of it, so I'll ask him, you have a question for them, and but I think he never really likes talking, like asking them questions, or he probably figures he doesn't have anything different else to add to it.
Cool. You guys did your most recent episode last week, so I'm guessing that probably means there won't be another new one for another couple weeks, right?
Well, I asked Kurt if we were going to do one on Thursday, and he never answered, so. There's a lot of news to talk about this week. This week, we got Rey de Reyes on Wednesday, I think, and Aztec Warfare for Lucha Underground. And I was hoping, and we have to talk about the Dos Leyendas show, so I'm guessing Kurt will call me like at 9 a.m. on Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, or Thursday, and tell me if he could do a podcast. That's how he does it.
That's cool. So hopefully you guys will have a show
maybe
sometime in the near future. And until then, people can always just go to LuchaWorld.com with the news update that you and Chris do, plus you perform the valuable service of translating Informa for those of us who watch it but can't speak Spanish.
I saw someone else translate it this past week when I wasn't, because of the time difference, I wasn't able to, and I saw somebody else, so maybe he could start doing it every other week. Although I kind of enjoy it. I mean, instead of watching all those like boring Puebla and Tuesday shows, I'd much rather watch the boring Informa show and get some good on, because it comes off boring for the most part, but there's always something interesting, because, I mean, some of the guys, I think it's boring when it's like the fourth time that Volador's on and he talks about the same match. But like when they have somebody who's new on the show, they'll come up with something. Although Volador Jr. is not a boring guy, but I'm talking about like there's some guys who just really don't have anything to say. But there's always somebody who comes up with, like, when they ask them about like where they were trained, they might have like a story that they have from a trip that they had. That's when I find it. There's always something interesting. There's always like one or two like notes that I really need, like even like just getting their ages and stuff like that. That's always helpful.
Well, it's like, even though I can't speak Spanish, it's like you can still get the vibe, you know, from their answers, especially if they're like either animated or you can see that they're actually moved. Like somebody that, you know, I don't really, you know, is not high on my list, but like Sangre Anteca was on this week.
Yeah, yeah.
And you could tell that, like, he was really sort of getting emotional talking about, like, all his injuries that he's had.
Yeah, that one was real. Like you said, there's certain guys that they're on, and you're like, yeah, they're not going to add anything because they haven't done anything since the last time they were on the show, because some of these guys are on. I mean, I think Sangre Anteca has been on, like, two or three times. So you're assuming, oh, he's just going to talk about injuries, but this time he actually talked about the injury and how I think it was the knee injury that he was talking about, the most recent injury, which was a tooth that went into the top of his upper lip or something. And he was talking about that and that injury, and it took him six weeks to come back from that. But then he talks about the two knee injuries that he had. And he talks about the second knee injury, which took 2 years for him to recover. Actually, it took him 1 year because he was going to take 2 years because of, if it was damaged even worse, he probably would have had to retire or like take a lot more time off. And he started getting really emotional because they were asking him about people don't realize how much it means to them that the fans like just check in to see how they're doing. And he said it felt good. Like, cause you know, you don't really, when you're down, you're at a low point and you're like at that dark point in your life. And it's always good to know that people still remember you. So, I mean, and then he got very emotional about that. And you're like thinking, oh man, it really bummed you out about these guys, because you know you don't really think about that stuff when you're watching these guys wrestle all the time, and you don't really realize that they actually do care about, you know, some of them do care that the fans are thinking about them while they're out. So that I thought that was good. I think Rush was on the last show, wasn't he?
Yeah. When he was on for like 15 minutes.
Yes, he was on for like a half hour. It's like, and he was actually really good. He had some stuff, like, although I think he's kind of getting tired. I don't know if you watched this. I was watching after the Dos Leyendas show. You know how on Informa they always ask him what mask match he wants? And he always mentions Atlantis. It's been asked, I think, every single Informa, every single time he gets interviewed, he gets asked what mask match he wants, and it's always Atlantis. So on this interview, this one guy from, I think it was Boxy Lucha, asked, what mask match do you want? And you know, this is Rush. So Rush is like all upset. He's like, how many times do I have to tell you? How many times do I have to answer that question? What are you new to this business or what? And he's like, this is my first interview. So Rush kind of like felt bad for the guy. He's like, okay, well, I'll answer the question. So he answers the question. And I just thought that was funny because it kind of showed you like Rush goes into full like heel mode because he's always Rush. Like he always acts like that. Like if you ask for a picture, you ask for like just a conversation or something like that, he'll go into rush mode. And I think he kind of felt bad for this guy, so he just went back and said, hey, let me dial it back and tell him who I really want to wrestle. But I just thought it was a funny interview.
Well, the other thing that I like about Informa is it seems like as long as you don't mention AAA directly,
yeah,
like guys are allowed to talk about people they feuded with in the past or old wrestlers they admired or things like that. Because you hear people brought up that you would think, you know, you'd never bring up some guy from 25 years ago or, you know, that has no connection.
Yeah.
Or people that have trained them. Like, they'll throw out people. And, you know, you get the occasional thing where even, you know, somebody will mention Santo or, you know, Wagner or whatever. And it's like, as long as you don't mention AAA.
Yeah.
As long as you just call it the other promotion.
I always
thought, you know,
when they say the other promotion, it's like, guys, we know what it is, but it's like, it's just funny. And, you know, now,
well, yeah, and then,
now they have an
audience. And they had that,
too.
Yeah, and they had that thing, I mean, they've sort of stopped it lately, but, you know, they had that string where they had retired guys on, you know, which I thought was pretty interesting.
I actually, you know, it's funny because I thought that was interesting, the legends, and I actually thought the Etikanas, when they were talking, were interesting because, you know, you look at these women, you're thinking, okay, they're just there, you know, eye candy for the guys. But then they start telling you that they're really, I think that's where the CML announcer thought I hated him because I kept bringing up that the Etikanas could do, the ring girls could do better job interviewing and doing all that stuff. But they actually did that. Like, they started using them on the Friday show to interview the fans or interview one of the wrestlers. They started doing the introduction. So it's like, They obviously saw something in them to start using them a little more. But yeah, the legends, I thought the legends were really like good just because you get like, you were getting some of the, like they were talking about the stuff from when they first started and like who trained them and all this stuff. A lot of the information we didn't have, like if you go on the Lucha Wiki page, you wouldn't find it. And like, as soon as they would bring it up, I would figure, okay, maybe this is something that Cupscan can use to like, or somebody who's updating the Lucha Wiki can use. Because just to add more information to the, cause, you know, we all want information. So it's like, I really dug the legends. I wish they brought them more often, but lately they haven't been doing that.
I know it's, you really only can hear from the same sort of lower mid-card guys who are wrestling on Saturday.
There's only so many times I can hear Scandalo talking about his most recent injury and facing stigma again, and or them asking if they want to be part of the Ingobernables. To the most random undercard guy. Although the one guy I find very entertaining on that show is Metallico. And he's an undercard guy. He's an amusing guy to have on that show.
And sadly, it looks like he will not turn out to be Rocky Casas.
Well, that was the other news. Rocky Casas. Rocky Casas is going to debut in next Tuesday. Who actually was Heavy Metal 2 in that bodybuilding competition that we saw like in last November. So that should be interesting.
So we've now seen him and we've seen Zanelli, although not actually wrestle.
Yeah. I'm curious if she's going to wrestle. Cause she's just doing the introduction. I think she wrestled on an indie show recently too. I think I saw her in a lineup. So she must be getting ready to wrestle. They need some new talent for the women's division. Cause the women's division isn't right now. You're not really, it's basically Marcella, Amapola, and Zuxi that are the three really good workers. And everybody else is kind of like, you know, in the Dallas level of like, they're okay, not great.
Well, it's like, I don't remember who said it, but it's like, now that Dallas has the belt, it's like, do you really want to see her defend it against Estrelita or Scotty?
Yeah. Estrelita, and I think that might be I'm guessing if Rob Bihari goes to Mexico, that he could end up watching a Dallas Estrellita title match on a Tuesday show.
Well, you know, they never did finish off that feud when she like gave her the pile driver.
Oh, that's right. That's right. And Estrellita, she's been doing the stretcher job a lot lately too. I think she did one on with Duxies, wasn't it? I think that was like 2 weeks ago or something. She did a stretcher job too. So, yeah, that's one of those. I'm not sure. I'm not really looking forward to those matches. Those will be matches the Cubs fan will have to recap up for all of us.
Well, that Zooksies versus Silhouetta match, I think, was a lot better than most of us were expecting, even though, you know, those guys work together all the time.
Yeah. And they had a
but
pretty
still.
They had a pretty good match in Arena Coliseo like a year before that too, so I think, but I think, yeah, we were surprised because was it that match or was it where Zooksies got hurt? It was a match before that, wasn't it? Or was it that match?
It was.
Might have been that match.
They wrestled, I think, like a week before to set up the title match,
yeah,
and I
yeah.
think that's when that's when it looked like she got hurt, she hurt her foot again.
Yeah.
And then it turned out to be not as bad, but you notice that when they had the title match the next week, they made sure to have like male seconds there to like catch them when they did topes, just to keep that from happening again.
Have you asked any of the wrestlers you've interviewed what's it like to wrestle a bad wrestler? I'm curious.
I don't.
No, it never comes up.
I don't think so, because I think that's probably one of those where I would need to figure out the kayfabe way of asking it.
Yeah.
Because everyone sort of told me that, like, when I was interviewing people, to you know, that if you ask shoot questions, couch it in a kayfabe way so that they can answer.
Yeah.
Like, without, although, of course, then you know, and then Marco comes on the podcast and then, you know, starts, well, probably for Lucha shooting that I wasn't really expecting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's I think the only time, like, on record, like, in an interview, the only time I ever brought something up was with La Máscara when I was talking to the trauma. But everybody else, I think I tried not to, like, say anything. Volador Jr. and I, we did talk about some of that, but he didn't say anything bad about anybody. He, like, kept quiet. He just nodded, like okay, yeah. Because we were talking about Imbusca and all that stuff, the bad Imbusca de Unidolo from last year. And he kind of just nodded. He didn't really bring anything up. But it's like, yeah.
But I know, like, sort of, like, if you talk about sort of in-ring style, like, if you sort of ask your questions as if it's a shoot,
mm-hmm.
like, you can get, like, you can sort of get your point across as to what they're what you're asking, and I think when they answer, they phrase it the way that they're giving you the answer you want, but not necessarily, you know, but of course the funny thing is that in Lucha, you can ask people, like, do you prefer being a Rudo or a Technico?
Yeah.
And so they can answer that because that means a certain thing. It doesn't just mean being a heel or a babyface.
You know what's so weird, I find so amusing, is that none of these guys, when they talk about Thunder, they don't say anything like, they don't really go over the top thing, how bad he is, or even other bad workers they face. But Cibernético, they seem like it's okay for them to just say how bad he is. It's like, poor guy. I think I'm gonna, if I go to that show, I want to ask him what that's like. Like, what's it like? People just tell you you're so bad and in the ring, although he'll probably slap me or something, so I don't know.
Well, it's almost like it's his gimmick.
Yeah, well, he said that his what he does in the ring is artwork, and I think he's one of those guys who kind of, he understands, he's okay with people thinking he sucks. I don't think he takes himself as seriously as maybe, like, one would imagine he would act that way. I think he kind of, he's more of a realist. About what he can do in the ring.
It was probably also the thing where it was a lot easier for the CML guys to say that when he's in AAA.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's sort of like, well, now you're here and I can't really, you know, you could say he's a tough opponent, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, but you can't really,
yeah, but,
you know.
But he said it, like, Terrible was really, like, when they asked him about it, he was like, yeah, he's horrible. And Rush has said it too. Rush has mentioned how he's not a wrestler. He's a talker. He's not a wrestler. But they haven't gone over the top as much as they were early. Like you said, if he was in AAA, they'd probably be a lot worse on him than they are now.
Well, it's also probably funny because it's like you can tell the way certain guys are insulted by like how they insult them.
Yeah.
Whether or not, like, because it must be obvious, like, how many people do not like Caristico.
Yes.
Based on Like, I think it's funny that, you know, that they call him like Mil Nombres.
Yeah, but it's like every
You
like
know.
it's like I had heard the Bolador Jr. the possibility of him not liking him, but then you like start hearing all these other guys also bringing it up, and then Bolador Jr. like I don't think he meant it like I don't want to wrestle him sort of way. I think he meant it in the he doesn't have any value right now because he changed his name so many times. And I think that's where they're using it, right? Like they don't really like him, but they're going with the whole, he's changed his name so many times, he doesn't have any value right now. Let him build up that value, then maybe he'll be worth a mask match or a mask versus hair match. But it's like it's just amazing how they're so quick to like just ignore it. The younger guys don't, but like the guys who are with him, like during the heyday, they are very like Volador Jr., certain guys are very quick to like just like put him down. Like it's not.
Well, you can certainly see based on his history that it's like, you know, it's obvious that he got a really big ego when he was Mystico, you know, and then he goes to WWF and makes lots of enemies, you know, and then you have all that stuff with Alberto.
Yeah.
So it's that thing where it's like, you know, when enough bad things happen, it's not other people, it's you.
It's just a weird. It's weird. But I mean, they're all working with him. They know it's business, so they gotta wrestle. They gotta be together because of this whole elite thing. So.
But I think it was interesting. I think it was Rob the other day was pointing out how, you know, they always make sure that they position Mystico too as a bigger star.
But you know, even Volador Jr. made that comment when he was talking on Informa, when they were talking about Carístico, and he was talking about how he didn't really want to face him, and he said look at how quickly they replaced him, and he used Místico, and it's like Volador Jr. is like I don't we've seen how he treats Místico, so it's like they had that one Informa where they where Místico was complaining about Volador Jr. and Valiente, and they both like were totally like just rude to towards him during that interview. It's like they don't think of much about him either. So it's like imagine what they think of Carístico. I mean, it's weird how I guess maybe that's why he Carístico thinks he's only going to be around for 5 more years because he probably figures he's going to burn another some more bridges at some point.
I know, it's like after that one, those 2 nights when it was like first at the time when everybody beat up Mystico in the Battle Royal,
Yeah.
including like the other Technicos, which was weird, and then you had that tag match where, you know, he was Volador's partner and he beat him up and then threw beer on him, and that was all just very strange.
You know, Volador Jr. was waiting to do that. He's like, I've been wanting to do this for the longest time. That was great. Yeah, but.
I always say Volador is so obviously a Rudo that just has to be a Technico for now, and you know he's just waiting to be a Rudo again.
Yeah, and he's very opinionated too. With so I mean, you see him on Informa. It's like you know he's gonna say something. I think that's the one thing that I think they're probably gonna be worried about because the thing with the fans now, and they ask a little more. They've been asking that, like you were saying, AAA and all these. Like you know, there's gonna be something that they're gonna ask Volador Jr. that's just gonna get him like, you know, fired up about somebody, and like it already happened with Carístico, so. And he's like one of those guys who could actually work either Rudo or Technico. He's pretty much like the opposite to Rush, where Rush is hated and is always hated, and Volador Jr. when he's a Rudo, he gets cheered because he's like I guess people like him no matter what.
Well, it's funny that in a way he would almost be like the perfect new Ingobernable
Yeah.
instead of Pyrrhoff.
Yeah. I'm still curious if that's going to be a full-time thing, because if it is, they had so many other options they could have gone with. There's like so many other guys in that promotion they could go with. You know, like I said, they got to find somebody who fits their like what they're into. Like Although La Mosca and Rush, you don't really see them hang out like Sombra and Rush used to. You don't really see that with those two.
Like I said, it wasn't going to happen, but to me, Kamitachi would have been the perfect Ingobernable. Because he has the attitude and he has the work rate.
And you could almost imagine him actually like, well, not even like just from the storyline, just him feuding with Dragon Lee, that would give another, would add more to it. Because you could have had like Dragon Lee siding with Maximo and Marco Corleone. Like I said, CML comes up with the, I don't know if it was CML who came up with Pierrot being the potential third guy in the Ingobernables. Hopefully it's not, but if we see, and you know, with CML, even then, they might have him with the Ingobernables 1 week, and the following Tuesday they'll have him teaming up with the Barriques. So it's like you don't know what's going on.
Well, I said the one good thing about if he becomes an Ingobernables is hopefully it means
No
no more
more
Barriques on my TV.
burritos. Yeah, those guys. Well, Mysterioso Jr. is here all the time in LA, so he's not in Mexico that much. You don't have to see him all the time.
And like you said, just because you're a trio doesn't mean you team up, because it's like, how many shows do we see the members of the Inferno in different tag matches when they're all working the same card?
Yeah, and aren't you? I was surprised that they had all three in the Dos Leyendas. Really surprised, because I mean, they always like get rid of Luciferno for all the shows. Like, yeah, let's get rid of Luciferno and have somebody else. They usually sub him in for some with somebody who's a little bit that we would have preferred in the team. And this time it was Luciferno.
I guess if a broken clock can be right twice a day, then the hat can occasionally book matches correctly.
Although he got the technical side a little. How many times has Titan and Triton been talking about a trio, and it's like they went with the different trio. Although I was fine with the technicals in this, because they always do the random trio of technicals on the show
Well,
as
it's like,
check-in.
why was Oro Jr. in the opener teaming with Soberano instead of Star Jr.?
Yeah, and Oro Jr. just looked out of his league in that match too. I mean, you could say that there was a lot of like mistakes in the match, but man, Oro Jr. I mean, it wasn't, the other guys were making mistakes. Just I think they were out there for so long that it just kind of like seemed like they were starting to have a lot of like they were just trying to get everything in because they didn't finish sooner. But Oro Jr. was basically doing the same stuff that he always does, and it's like the other guys were trying different things, and I don't know. Should have gone with, I think they want Oro Jr. to be like a star, but it's just not panning out, just to keep the Oro name going, and it's just not panning out for him. Like he just doesn't fit.
But it's like if there's one match you want to go long on a pay-per-view, it's not the match with the rookies.
Yeah. And those guys are rookies. I was like, and you know, it's sad because I think that those two, the Ciancaras' kids have looked really good in the previous shows. And like they didn't look bad. It's just like it's just a long match. Like, and they were losing the fans at a few times too. Like, you could hear the fans kind of booing a bit because it was going so long. But like, you can't have those guys out there that long. Although I think those guys are going to be main eventers that's very soon.
You can, it's like you can tell they have the pieces. It's just they're just green, because there was a lot of times it seemed like they were stopping and starting, or they weren't sure of their spots. But it's like the rookies, and so it's not you're really going to kill them for it. But it's like, well, then do not put them on a pay-per-view. It's like, you work almost every night of the week, and only like two shows a week are televised. It's like, just put them in with. Even if you put him in with like Halcon and Baja all the time, who are, serviceable opening match
Oh, they're
baby faces.
yeah, they're they would have had a better match with them than these guys. Because I mean, the younger guys just looked like they couldn't cover up for the other for whenever they would screw up, the other guys would screw up. So it's like you can't cover up with those guys. Bala and Halcon would have at least kind of, they weren't going to do anything over the top. And I think that's what happened to these guys. Well, with Soberano Jr. when he got hurt at the end, that was like a really, really bad mistake right there. That was sad. Did you see the new guy debuting today?
No.
Warrior Steel?
I saw that he did. I mean, I didn't see any clips or anything.
Yeah, he's a chubby guy, so.
But there, at least, they put him in with. I think they put him in the trio with Puma and Tiger, so.
Yeah, that, yeah, and you know, it's a Sunday show, so maybe it probably doesn't make its way onto, like, no one's gonna see if he's like bad or anything until he finally makes his debut, so his TV debut or his online debut. It's so confusing with everything being on YouTube now. It's like you keep saying TV, and it's like, no, it's actually YouTube or Claro Sports debut.
Well, it's funny. I actually got a tweet from an old friend of mine, like who watches wrestling, but like never watch, didn't, this is like never watched Lucha. And I guess he's now seen me tweet enough about it that he's like, where should I start? And I'm just like what a question. I was like, well, so basically, I told him to like, I think he has the network, although I think he's not on the, but I said. Go on YouTube and look for When Worlds Collide, because I'm like, even though it's 20 years old, it's like full of people you know, and like Mike Tenay did such a good job on commentary on that, like explaining stuff to people, that I'm like, that's probably a good place to start. And then I was like, just basically go on YouTube and look for stuff, and it's like then I'll start telling you what to watch and what not to
Yeah,
watch.
that's basically it. Yeah, it's weird. Like whenever people ask about that, like there's like so many videos on YouTube, you can find it on there. So much. I think it's weird because you get the newer fans that don't really know how much is available online. So they think, oh, where do I start? And it's like, yeah, you could probably go on. There's so many web, and now there's so many websites now that cover not just American wrestling, but Lucha Libre. I mean, at one point it was just Cubs fan and myself doing Lucha. Now there's like others or Dr. Lucha on the Observer site. Now everybody else has like other people involved in just like bringing up the quality, not covering all the news, but like covering the what's good to watch and stuff like that in Lucha and Japanese wrestling, everything.
Oh, it appears that Cubs fan is now periscoping from the Lucha show he's at. So maybe we will actually be able to see some of that stuff in the next couple of days.
Cubs must be really well. I mean, that's the show with all the talent, so I could understand him periscoping.
And he posted a picture earlier, and
I have no idea how to do that.
it looks like there's like 40 or 50 people at the show too. So it's not like he'll be there. I did ask him if there were any grannies in the front row to threaten the Rudos, and he's like, "Nope, not many people here at all." Fredo, I want to thank you for doing the show again. There's a fresh Lucha World blog from last week that people can go grab, and like you said, hopefully there'll be another one in the next few days for you and Kurt talking about all the news. Until then, thanks everybody for listening, and we'll be back soon with a new episode. Thanks.